Welcome to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. This program is designed to teach and educate you about the history and the infallibility of God's holy word. We trust you'll find today's program challenging and encouraging. Your host, Bruce Musselman, combines many years' experience as a pastor, author, and conference speaker. Here now with today's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, so glad to be with you once again, and I thank the Lord today. It says, this is the day the Lord hath made, and rejoice and be glad in it, and we can rejoice. I thank the Lord. Today is my 78th birthday, and all I can say is the Lord has treated me so good. He's given me peace and joy, and just been a continual blessing all my life. And the greatest blessing, Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And Jesus said, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And when Jesus died on the cross, he said, it is finished. He was punished in our place. And God showed his wrath against sin, and in that Jesus took that terrible punishment on himself. But because he did that, when I come to him, I will meet God in perfect joy and peace without any record that I've ever sinned, because the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. But I'd like to start off today, and I'd like to read something from the book of 1 Peter, and verse, let's see, we'll start about 10 here. It says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling an election sure, for it is, if ye do these things, ye shall never fall, for so an entrance shall be administered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and are established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. Peter's talking about his body. Even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He saw Jesus in all of his glory on what is called the Mount of Transfiguration, and that's what he's talking about. And he saw Moses and Elijah there also. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So he saw the glory of Jesus Christ. He heard the voice of God the Father saying that out of heaven about Jesus. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. But then he says here, and people would say, well, if I saw Christ in all of his glory and heard the voice of God the Father, then I would be sure. But according to St. Peter here, he says this, we have something more sure than seeing Christ in all of his glory and hearing the voice of God the Father out of heaven. And what is that? He says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. So he's saying the Scripture that we have, the Word of God that we have, is more sure than seeing Christ in all of his glory or hearing the voice of God the Father. Because people have seen visions, and could see visions, and maybe they didn't come from God. And there has been a lot of visions, and there's demonic spirits that are out there in the world today that did not come from God. But this came from God that is more sure, and that is his word. And he says, for the prophecy came not of old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So God spake, caused these people to speak, and then they wrote it down. Now it says, but there were false prophets also among the people, is even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now he says here, there are heresies that are damnable. That is, can send a person to hell. What is it? Denying Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, because on the cross, he paid for all your sins. And if that is not taught and that is not clear, that is called a damnable heresy. We're not saved by our good works. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And we're not saved by the sacraments of the church or by anybody's church. We're saved by Jesus Christ alone, who bought us when he died and paid for all of our sins on the cross. And Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. That's a promise of Jesus. I will never kick you out. Now it says, many shall follow the pernicious ways by reason of whom the way of truth shall be spoken of. And Jesus said, thy word is truth. And Jesus said, I pray not for the world, but for them that has given me out of the world. For I have given them the words that thou hast given me. That is, he has given to the whole world the words, his words. And the authorized King James Bible is all over the world, or it's translated into all the languages of the world. And before it came out in 1611, they were given the words of God at Pentecost, and these words were spread through the whole world. So people all over the world had the word of God. And we're to go by the word of God, not by anything else. And through covetousness shall they with vain words making merchandise of you, that vain words, that is lying words, make merchants you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels of sin, but cast them down to hell, delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And so he said, now, what is it making merchandise? When these translations come out every few years, they keep putting new ones out constantly for money's sake, and people have the copyrights for these things and make money on it. Now, the King James Bible does not have a copyright on it now, but every modern one has the copyright. And for them to have a copyright, they have to change the words. So everyone's words are changed. So when the NIV comes out, the words are one thing. And then when the New American Standard comes out, the words are another thing. And most of the words are the same, but they have to change a certain percentage of the words to get the copyright. Now, can you imagine that? The holy, perfect word of Almighty God is messed with for money's sake to get the copyright. And you know, I've been talking about this, but you know, the things that I've been saying here, I have been mentioning books for every program, and you need to get this one. I'll mention a different book every time, but which Bible would Jesus use? And it's on, what is it that people get their books off of?
Well, they can get it online if they go to whereisgodsword.com. At whereisgodsword.com, there's a link to the book, Which Bible Would Jesus Use? They just click on the link there, as well as the other books that you mentioned, all at whereisgodsword.com.
Yeah, by Jack McElroy. And, I mean, it explains what is going on. And I'm telling you, it's satanic. And most people, to put it bluntly, it'll blow your mind if you read it, you know. But, you know, when the devil came, what's the first thing Satan said? He said, yea, hath God said. I mean, God is telling us that is going to be the number one thing he's going to attack, are the words of God. And, you know, this is amazing to me because everybody's heard about the fall of man. But what was the first sin? Adam and Eve, who walk with God, changed the words that God had said. He said, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you may not eat, for the day you eat thereof you shall surely die. So they changed, they took out freely. And Adam and Eve says, of every tree of the garden you may eat. So they took out freely. And for the day you eat, they added, neither shall you touch it. So they took out a word, they changed a word, and God said, you'll surely die. And they said, lest you die. So they changed the meaning again. That is exactly what is going on. That's what we talk about in this program. They change thousands of words and thousands of meanings every time a new translation comes out. And somebody says, the Greek, you know, you hear it all the time. You know, that's just pride. They don't tell you what Greek text they're using, and there's many Greek texts. As Carter has liver pills, and then not only that, there's lexicons, that's Greek-English dictionaries, and they have a lot of those that have changed the meanings of the words. But we have the true words of God given to us by Christ and the apostles and come down to us based on many languages. The King James is based on the true Bible of the Gothic text, the early German text, the Armenian text, the Koine Greek text, Coptic text in Egypt and so on. I mean, and many others that have, the great majority have the readings behind the King James. The modern ones are based about less than 10% a lot of the time. And they knock out Jesus in 100 places. They take out his name, see? So they're messing with it. And if your mind is made up and you don't believe, you don't want to be confused with the facts, don't read this book. A lot of people that don't believe what we're saying, they won't read anything. They're like the Jehovah's Witnesses. They won't read anything except what their particular cult puts out. And I call them the chaos cult. But we thank God, down through the ages, Christians all over the world in their own languages had the true word of God. Then it was translated in 1611. There's 5 billion copies out there all over the world. And the Holy Spirit leads Christians to this. And every generation, it keeps on going for 400 years. And every other translation, since it's not the word of God, because the word of God liveth and abideth forever, when the advertising stops, it stops. And then they put out a new perversions. But thank God we have it. And the word of God is true. Well, if we got time, Brother Al has science in the Bible, and the Bible is absolutely correct in everything that says in geography, science, psychology, sociology. Go ahead.
All right, Bruce. Well, we'll just a little short one. This actually may wind up being a two-part one. And the Bible says in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. So he says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. He repeats that in verse 14, for it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. And this is very interesting when you think about this, because we found that it takes about 60 seconds for the blood that's in your body to make a complete circle, to go from your heart out to the body, and then back into the lungs and back to the heart, and then get ready to go back out to the body again. And when it does this, it's moving at a pretty good pace. It runs out through the arteries, then goes through the capillaries, and then comes back through the veins back in to be recirculated after a trip through the lungs. And they described this circulation, William Harvey, in 1628 through the heart into the arteries and veins and all of that. And he didn't have a microscope at that time. And it wasn't until in 1674 that another guy described the capillaries and all of this. But what's so interesting with this is this statement, the life is in the blood. And we think the life of the flesh is in the blood. You can go for a while without eating. You know, some of us can go longer than others without eating. And you could probably go weeks without eating. But you can go a lot less without drinking water. You might only be able to go a few days without drinking water. You can go a few minutes, perhaps, without breathing air. There are people who are deep sea divers, free diving, where they'll hold their breath for 5 minutes. It just seems incredible. You know, 3 to 5 minutes holding their breath. And some animals, of course, can hold it much longer. But here's the thing that's amazing. Without blood, you can't go more than a few seconds. That's it. If your blood stops circulating, you die. And remember our first president, George Washington, At the time, they thought because when somebody was ill, they had bad blood and they drained the blood out. And they used leeches and made cuttings to drain the blood out. And probably President Washington would have survived if it weren't for having his blood drained out. And so when somebody loses their blood, some accident, some bad cut or something like that, you only have moments to live if your blood is gone. And this is important. There's three types of cells in the blood. Of course, the red blood cells, the white blood cells, and the platelet cells. The platelets, of course, is what helps clot. If you get a cut or something and it clots up and forms a little blood clot, that's from the platelets. The white blood cells run around trying to destroy bacteria and different things in the blood that would cause infection or other problems. But it's the red blood cells that make up the bulk of the blood. The heart pumps about 100 to 2,000 gallons of blood a day through your cells. And your bone marrow forms about 2 million blood cells. It's hard to believe, but per second, because these things do a lot of work. And they're circulating through about 60,000 miles of arteries, veins, and capillaries in your body. And as all of this stuff circulates around, God designed it expressly to keep us alive. It carries oxygen and nutrients to all the cells of the body. It removes carbon dioxide and waste products from all the cells of the body. It goes through the liver to have things detoxified from it. It goes through the kidneys to have waste removed, and it goes through the lungs to have carbon dioxide removed and oxygen brought in. The life of the flesh is in the blood. That's why the blood of the sacrifices had to be spilt out at the altar, because it represented the concept of life having to be forfeited because of sin. Remember, the wages of sin is death. And so every time that they sacrificed an animal, its blood was spilt out. That animal could not recover from that, could it? No. And it was a picture of the coming sacrifice of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happened when he died on the cross? His blood was spilt out, wasn't it? His blood went from his body, and there's no way that he could have survived. He didn't swoon, he didn't faint, and only to recover later in a cool, dark tomb. But no, he died because the blood left his body. And because of loss of blood, there was no way he could have survived the crucifixion. That's why he died in our place. That's why the blood of Christ had to be shed. But of course, his blood was different than our blood. His blood was indestructible blood, eternal blood that exists at the altar of God in heaven even now. The blood of Christ was placed at that altar. And when we put our faith in Christ, the blood of Christ is applied to us, isn't it, Bruce?
Sure is. It
washes away our sins.
Evidence that our sins have been paid for in heaven.
Right. So not only is physical life in the blood, but spiritual life is in the blood of Christ.
That's wonderful. You know, when I hear this, I think of the Egyptian Book of the Dead. You know, Moses must have studied, but none of that nonsense is in the Bible. This came from God.
Amen.
And we'd be laughing at it today if he put in the Bible what he studied in Egypt when he was a young man.
Yeah, well, when we look at what God designed, and that's why I said this could be a two-part one, because there's some other information that Solomon gives us in Ecclesiastes, a puzzling passage that maybe somebody has looked at, and perhaps we'll look at it, Lord willing, next week in Ecclesiastes 12:6, where it says, "Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern." It's talking about what happens when we die, isn't it?
So. Sounds like it.
All right. Well, hopefully Bruce will get to that next week. So,
yeah, sounds good. Well, it's good to have God's word, the living word of God that liveth and abideth forever. And you see, the real true word of God can reproduce itself. Everybody talks against it, but it just keeps right on going. And will go on through all eternity, because Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And that's how we know the King James, it goes on where every other one just dies. It's dead in the beginning. But the words in this book are spirit and life. And if we eat the right foods, it helps to keep life in our body. But our spiritual food is the words of the living words of God found in the Holy Bible.
Amen.
And it can bring us peace and joy and contentment. And I know I had a lifetime to prove it. And I thank God for it.
You know, Bruce, you were talking about physical food, and we take in physical food on a daily basis so that the blood can carry those nutrients around, don't we?
That's right.
Well, we've got the blood of Christ applied to our heart. We got to take in that spiritual food, like you just said.
Yeah, and so, that blood of Christ comes through his words, because he said the words, he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, and then he explained that the flesh profiteth nothing, but the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So it's his words that his body was broken for us when the spear went in his side and his blood was shed for us. And his blood is in heaven as a proof that our sins have been paid for. Therefore, when we die, it says he's able to keep us from falling, present as faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. So we'll go to heaven without any record we've ever sinned and meet God in great joy. What a wonderful thought that is.
Amen.
And Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll never cast out. Peter says these are exceeding great and precious promises that can just fill our heart with joy. And I know in my case, over and over again, I read the Bible and it just puts so much joy in my heart and just giving me a life of great contentment and peace all through my life. And you know, the best is yet to come, because the gold will be with the Lord in the gold city with him forever and ever. So as that time gets closer, we never know when it's going to come, whether we're young or old, you know. But Jesus said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die.
Right.
We're just like a caterpillar, you know. He crawls around on the ground like a worm, but all of a sudden he leaves the cocoon and he becomes a beautiful butterfly. So we're just going to move out of this body, and we're going to go to heaven and be with Jesus Christ, and we'll have a supernatural body like Jesus did. He said, because I live, ye shall live. And you know, when he died, I like that today what you said, the blood came out of his body, because when he rose from the dead, he just didn't swoon. He rose physically, and he said, I'm coming out of the grave the third day. As I said before, I went over there and checked where they put his body. It wasn't there. But I knew that because all the apostles saw him for 40 days after that, and 500 people saw him after he physically and bodily rose from the dead, and he ate with them and was with them for 40 days after that. And before, when he was dying, they all ran away like a bunch of bunny rabbits, but after he rose from the dead, they looked his murderers in the face and they said, you by wicked hands have crucified the Lord of glory. And then I really like that part. He says, but it was impossible for him to stay dead.
Amen.
And so he came out of the tomb, and after that they were bold as a lion. And the message went all around the world. And then it says the New Testament, a couple of times the whole world heard it, see. And Jesus said repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. Repentance means you're willing to turn from sin and accept Christ. Remission means the sins have been paid for. They've been remitted. They've been paid for. And it's in Jesus' name. He's the source of salvation. He alone is our Savior. And he alone is our Savior. There's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, as I've said already, I will in no wise cast out.
When you're talking about remission, well, Hebrews says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So it really is kind of interesting when you think of that, the life of the flesh is in the blood, how important that is. The physical oftentimes is a picture of what's going on in the spiritual, isn't it?
That's true.
So, but again, just to encourage people to check out whereisgodsword.com. And you can find the books that Bruce recommends, as well as past programs. So.
There's probably 500,000 books circulating out there, and it brings out the things we're saying, but I hope you could get that book, Which Bible Would God Use? And by Mick Elroy. Boy, every Christian should have that, because there's so many people trying to create doubts. You know, if you're correct in the Bible, that's satanic, you know, because first thing the devil says to Adam and Eve, yea, hath God said. So thank God we have his word today. Jesus said, thy word is truth.
Amen.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. To learn more on this topic and to contact Bruce, visit his website at whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. That's whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. There you will find a vast array of resources on this topic, including copies of previous programs, articles by Bruce, and links to other recommended materials. Bruce is also available to speak to your church or organization. Again, that web address is whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the faithful listeners in this area.